Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 12. If I have said earthly things to you, and you believe not, how, if I say the heavenly things to you, will you believe? And no one has gone up to heaven, save he who came down out of heaven, the Son of Man who is in heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God has not sent his Son into the world, that he may judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. Now John's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 25. They said therefore to him, Who art thou? And Jesus said to them, Altogether that which I say to you. I have many things to say and to judge concerning you, but he that has sent me is true, and I, what I have heard from him, these things I say to the world. They knew not that he spoke to them of the Father. Jesus therefore said to them, When ye shall have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. And finally, in John 12, and verse 31, Now is the judgment of this world, and now shall the prince of this world be cast down. And I, if I be lifted up out of the earth, will draw all to me. But this he said, signifying by what death he was about to die. There's three references to the lifting up of the Son of Man. And as we think of the greatness of the one who was lifted up, the speaker is made conscious of the need of help. We speak about it. I think it's always good in taking up any scripture to see the background in which it is presented. Nicodemus, he came to the Lord by night. Nevertheless, he came. While this is an address and not a gospel, it might be quite apropos to ask if everyone in the room has come to the Lord. The Lord took him on, you know. There's two musts in this chapter. He must be born again. And the Son of Man must be lifted up. We said we couldn't have sung that hymn if Jesus hadn't gone to Calvary. And none of the blessings of the reading, which maybe we don't know too much about, could be spoken about unless the Son of Man had been lifted up. Nicodemus questioned the Lord, and the Lord took him on. He couldn't understand new birth. Do I understand new birth? Do I understand that it's something that happens sovereignly? Supposing the Lord says he must be born again? The Lord shows him. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Divine operations are wonderful. Let us remember that. But he goes on in the chapter. How can a man be born again? The Lord says to him, Thou art the teacher in Israel, and dost not know these things? Someone said, had he never read Ezekiel? When I read that, I started to struggle through Ezekiel. But it's a lovely book. I'll tell you one thing. Ezekiel was a person who was easily lifted up. He didn't have too much hold on this world. And you know, we're all going to be lifted up soon. But the Lord Jesus must be lifted up. And he was lifted up as a spectacle to the universe. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, we spoke about it in the reading. Fiery serpent sent among the people as they murmured. God said, Make a serpent of brass. And put it on a pole. well above the people, so that all could see it. And anyone who was bitten by the serpent, and let me tell you that all of us have been bitten by the serpent. If he looked, he fled. And as the hymn says, there is life in a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment to be. But you think of the glory of the person who was here. John presents the Lord Jesus as rejected, but immediately he comes in. He came to his own, and his own received him. You think the Lord felt it? We'll never really estimate the feelings of Christ in regard to his people. They're going to come in again, but they'll come in on the very same way as we come in, by the mercy of God. Thus also must the Son of Man be lifted up. Can you estimate what it was for the blessed God to see Jesus put on a cross and lifted up between heaven and earth? That everyone who believes on him. Then you get that beautiful verse, for God so loved the world. Eternity itself, dear brother, will never stop the glory from our hearts and our lips of the one who was lifted up. We'll praise him eternally. God had no design on man perishing, and he made a way of escape by lifting up his own beloved Son. And this is a must. The other one that I've read puts responsibility on those who did it and brings out the glory of the person. And the third one brings out the attractiveness of the one who is lifted up. Someone spoke about John's incomparable gospel. And you see something of the depths of John's link with the Lord Jesus in the way he writes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. We say that and we preach on it, but do we realize what it cost the blessed God to give his own beloved Son? Not only that he should die, but he should bear the judgment. John doesn't speak about him in the way the other Gospels speak, but nevertheless, he brings out the glory of that one who was lifted up. The hymn says, lifted up was he to die. Oh, I would like to get into my own soul that the lifting up of Jesus at Calvary's cross was an absolute must. If there had been another way, the blessed God would have taken. Would he have permitted the sufferings of Christ if there had been another way? There was no other way. serpent lifted up in the wilderness was one thing, but the Son of Man lifted up makes the cross in itself stand, as someone said, at the middle of eternity. No wonder Paul says he could glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You get in John's Gospel, there was those who stood by the cross. Where do I stand? Where do I stand? Where do all of us stand in the light of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? God used it, used man to Mars, and his own glory, as it were, setting forth a way of blessing for all of us. Thus also must the Son of Man be lifted up. Say you're keeping it that. And keeping at it, beloved brothers, because I think it needs to enter our soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ was made a spectacle to the world, the sinless one, that we might be saved. We will never forget. God, so that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God has not sent his Son into the world that he may judge the world, but the world may be saved. That was the reason, and that was the must, and there was no other way. Well, I pass on, Johnny. Nicodemus comes to light again at the end of John 7. Does our Lord judge a man before it hath heard from himself and knows what he does? They answered and said to him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, that no prophet arises out of Galilee. Every one went to his own home. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. That spiritual realm, we might say, where Christ was absolutely at home with his Father. Do you know anything about the Mount of Olives? We've spoken about the Spirit of God, and the Mount of Olives relates to an area where the Spirit is. But oh, how near the blessed Spirit of God has come to us to indwell the believer and to be in the assembly. May we make more fruit, all of us, in our lives and in our bodies. Then they have a woman taken in adultery. And they think they've got a case against the Savior. Moses commanded, What sayest thou? Says Jesus, stooping down, wrote on the ground. Well, we know all this, but the background is bringing to light the glory of who was here. Let him that is without sin cast the first stone. And they went out from the others. The word went right home to the conscience of everyone there, and all of them went out. Would to God they had all stayed, because the word they said to the woman with a plight of them all. Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Then you come further down. And he says, I am from above. Here of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore to you that ye shall die in your sins, for unless that ye believe that I am, ye shall die in your sins. The glory of the person I am. When it comes to taking the Lord prior to Calvary, he says, I am he. And they go backwards and fall to the ground. The glory of the person which nothing could stand against. And one of his taken, I remember, the color the martyr. It was fire in the street. He allowed himself to be taken at Calvary. The glory of who he was, I am. And it brings it out here. When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, he's putting responsibility where it belongs. And where does it belong? To the Jew, it belongs to the universe. Belongs to the universe. Ye shall know that I am the Lord. We might well pause and consider the glory of who was lifted up. This is not the creator of the universe. He is not. But it's the glory of the one who has had equality and deity. Moses knew about I am. He learned that in the world. When he was sent to Egypt, he just said, say, the I am sent thee to them, sent me to them. Here it comes right through again. But responsibility is put where it belongs. And we must remember that. Responsibility put where it belongs. And the Lord goes on to say, I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but he that has sent me is true. And before that, he says, who art thou? And Jesus said to them, altogether that which I say of you. Oh, beloved brethren, how lovely that is. Beautiful presentation of the Lord as exactly what he said he was. Altogether, that which I say unto you. Do I love the Lord Jesus? Does these writings make me love him more? Could I love him more? None of us, I doubt, will ever say we couldn't love the Lord more. But I'll tell you this, and none of us will ever say that he could have loved us more, because he loved us even unto death. He says, when ye shall have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. Did they know? Some of them knew. The centurion must have known something. He says, truly, this man was Son of God. Oh, what a picture that was. When ye shall have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. I have many things to say. But he that has sent me is true. And I, what I have heard from him, these things I say to the world. They knew not that he spoke to them of the Father. Well, beloved brethren, if you trace the Lord's pathway in John's Gospel, He's pointing all forward to the Father. And he has to say later on to Philip, I think it's to Philip, have I been so long a time with you and thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Come together as the Lord carry tomorrow to remember the Lord. The greatest occasion that we can enjoy the earth. I say that feeling. Because the praise of God is greater than service to men. I say to young people, do you want to be a preacher? Ask the Lord to help you. Because we need preachers. Let us remember that the service of praise is the greatest service. And when we get to glory, there'll be no need for the gospel, but the service of praise will go on eternally. Let me be in it now and thank God for the privilege, but it's the Lord time of assembling together to remember the Lord. I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak. The greatness of who he is, presented in John's Gospel, and yet he's telling us he does nothing of himself, but as he hears, he speaks. Can you compass that? I can't compass it. You have in one side the equality of deity, yet in the other side, you have the glory of Christ in mighty, and always dependent on the Father. Well, I leave these things. I pass on to the last scripture. Look at the 7 o'clock. John 12. What a chapter this is, you know. You have Lazarus dying in chapter 11. And I suppose morally, the whole family went through the morally. Do I know anything about death morally? If Christ takes us, as he does, with himself, onto the ground of resurrection, do I know anything about passing morally through death? Supper in the service of God, as I've said, is the greatest service on earth, the greatest occasion on earth. But how deep an entrance have I into it? I feel, beloved brethren, that sometimes we miss out on the greatest occasion and the Lord coming amongst us and showing us and speaking to us. The possibilities of that occasion are limitless. I say that with feeling, because I believe for myself I need to enter deep, more deeply in. What an occasion it is. Finishing with a praise of God. No occasion like it. Well, chapter 12. Lazarus raised. There Mary made him a supper. Beautiful. Mary, alabaster box of precious ointment, opens it, anoints it, and says the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. That's what we want on the morrow. We want the house filled with the odor of the ointment. Not just a few of us together, you know. We need to get our thoughts in last. We break bread in the wilderness. And we all know this. I know we know that. Then when the Lord comes on, he takes us on. Brown, his brown. And then we come into a large area. We come into the area of the assembly, don't we? Oh, we're just a few. Is the Lord able for a few? We could go. We just, as it were, laid ourselves open for divine touches in order that that occasion and the whole area you may see be filled with the owner of the earth. Now the Greeks come up next. We would see Jesus set the corn of wheat falling into the ground down. But if it does, it brings forth much fruit. And love, brother, let us remember, we are among the myriads that have much fruit. Don't let us have small ideas. Let our heart become enlarged, even in a day of breakdown and brokenness, to see that the glory of the assembly is going right through. From the divine side, there is no breakdown in the assembly. The public breakdown is with us. The assembly is going through in trial. On this rock will I build my assembly, and Hades will not prevail against it. Then he goes on. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Has he been cast out yet? The Lord says, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. That was anticipated. But I want corrected on this, but I think this is anticipated as well. But I believe for faith it's accomplished. Do I have faith? Do I have faith as a grain of mustard seed? You don't have to have any more than the measure you've got. But the way to get the blessing in it is to make way and use the faith you've got. So he goes on. And I, if I be lifted up out of the earth, will draw all to you. That's the attractive side of the death of Christ. It's been said, you know, that will draw all to me, lifted out of the earth, was when he went into the grave and came out by way of the resurrection. And he's now a man in the glory, and he's drawing all to him yet. Oh, how wonderful that is. He says, but this he said, signified by what death he was about to die. It's constantly brought before us. But he says, I, if I be lifted up out of here, out of here, it must bear on his burial as well, out of here, I can drop more to me. Let us make more way for this glorious man. That's what I see. He says further on, but though he had done many signs before them, in verse 37, they believed not on him, that the word of the prophet Isaiah, which he said might be fulfilled, Lord, who had believed him? Well, I say, let the report be believed enough, and let us look forward, if the Lord carry to the supper tomorrow, and to his coming to us, and if he comes before us, saw bees coming for us.
Mm.
Maybe just grasp the glory of the Son of God. That was the Son of Man that was lifted up.
Mm.
But the glory of the Son of God is the one on whom he'll gaze eternally, the official prisoner.
Amen. Amen. Amen.